Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Would you please be seated? Did God really say, the serpent whispered in Eve's ear in Eden? The serpent appealed to the woman and the man standing beside her, insinuating that God was holding something back from them, something good that they deserved. It implied in sibilant tones that God did not love them like they thought. The first temptation happened in a garden. And the woman and the man failed the test. They were forced into the wilderness where their offspring had to live by the sweat of their brow and the blood of their hands. Did God really say? The serpent whispered in Israel's ear around Mount Sinai. The serpent appealed to the people, insinuating that God was holding something back from them, something good that they deserved. It implied again in sibilant tones that God did not love them like they thought. This second temptation happened in a wilderness. And the people failed the test. They made idols of gold and worshipped them. They were forced from the place and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before crossing the Jordan into the promised land. Did God really say? The serpent whispers in Jesus' ear around Jericho. After his baptism, alone in the wilderness, famished, Jesus, Israel's representative, the second Adam, wants to redeem his people and the world. This last temptation happens in a desert. Jesus faces the ancient enemy of his people, of the world, but he is not alone. Luke reminds us that he is full of the Spirit. The baptismal water was still dripping off his robes when the Spirit pulled him into the wilderness. Jesus fasted for 40 days, identifying himself with Israel's 40 years of wilderness wandering. And then, slithering or walking or somehow both, the enemy approaches. Jesus knows it sees him, sees through him, sees everything, sees his hunger. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. I imagine Jesus' stomach growls, his mouth waters. He looks up to heaven. He recalls Deuteronomy, where Moses says, "Remember the long way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna." Jesus' stomach growls again. Should he turn this stone to bread? Should he make his own manna in the wilderness? Moses had continued that this manna was given in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Ah, here it is. Immediate gratification might touch you with happiness, but it won't bring you joy. Jesus replies, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." They appear on top of a mountain. There is Jericho just below, Jerusalem yonder, and somehow the outline of every place of power in the world, the enemy hisses, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus sees his goal within reach, all the kingdoms of the earth. Excitement fills him, but then he remembers Moses again, telling Israel not to forget God when they received the promised land because of all the fine things they would inherit. They were tempted like Jesus is tempted here, and they failed. Jesus fixes his gaze on a hillside outside Jerusalem's city gate. He touches his thumb to the place on his wrist where a nail will go. It is written, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." They appear over Jerusalem, standing on the pinnacle of the temple, 15 floors off the ground. The great city stretches before them. "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus has been quoting the law to the enemy. The enemy quotes the Psalms right back. And the same whispering voice that felled our first parents, the same whispering voice that felled the people of Israel, that same voice now asks the same question. Did God really say, "Are you the Son of God? Well, prove it." Did God really commission you in the waters of baptism? Show me. Does God really love you like you thought? Here again, Jesus' goal is in sight. A bunch of angels carrying him down from the temple parapet would force everyone to accept him, his mission. Why wouldn't God want that for him? Is God withholding something good that Jesus deserves? But full of the Holy Spirit, a sense of calm spreads through Jesus. He is almost to the end. He is almost to the place of finishing what Adam, Eve, and Israel started. Did God really say? Yes, God did say. He looks up at the enemy and smiles. "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." The enemy screams and vanishes. And here Jesus has won his first victory. He has bound the strong man, as Mark will say. He will go now to start raiding his house, teaching, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, turning over tables. He will carry this victory all the way to the cross, where he will disarm the enemy once and for all. And it is this same victory in which you and I walk as we together take our Lenten journey. No matter what temptation we face, it is always a temptation coming from something or someone that has already lost. Every temptation is a weakened, desperate attempt to stop what God is setting free into the world. To which we can say, "No, I am a child of God. I have been claimed in holy baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Jesus died for me and rose again for me. He loves me. He loves me more than my parents can love me. He loves me more than my siblings can love me. He loves me more than my spouse or my children can love me. He loves me more than I can love myself." Did God really say that? Yes, God did. 2 weeks ago, I asked you to write a sticky note that said, "I am a child of God," and put it where you could see it. In this first full week of Lent, I invite you to get another sticky note and place it next to the first. on this one write, God loves me more. With that in mind, we can meet the testing of this season with the joy, of those who have already won. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.